thinking about the message, and I look at our country today, it just breaks my heart what's happened into it. But how can I fix it? What can I do? In God's perfect plan in this dispensation, folks, what's the cutting edge of reaching the world? R-A-T right here, the local church. It isn't the mission board. The mission board is part of the local church. The missionaries are sent from where? The local church. Where's the mission field? Just outside these doors. But it's a corporate as Calvary Baptist Church, but it's an individual thing too. And the title of the message, Agonize for the Faith. Turn to the book of Jude, please. Verses, the book of Jude, between 3 John and Revelation. If you hit Revelation, you went too far. We're having the turning of the seasons here. I hear the turning of the leaves. Must be fall already. But God bless America. He has. He put us between two oceans. We couldn't hardly ever be invaded. But we have an awesome responsibility to reach our fellow Americans for the Lord. Because we can be the greatest American and die and spend a Christless eternity. That isn't a very equal, that's way out of whack. Verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them who are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And verse 2, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied or more abundantly. First word, there's your author right there. Author and half-brother of the Lord. Also note the three things written for our assurance in verse 2. We are sanctified, set apart, and that's a progressive sanctification. We're working toward a goal, getting better and better each day, or trying to, through God's Word. We're preserved, we're kept. That's that eternal security. You love that? I like that. Nobody can take my salvation from me. I can't lose it. And you got to love me. I got you over a barrel on that one. But I got to love you too. But we're preserved. And the last part of it, and called. The Lord actually called me. I didn't look for Him. He called me. It's hard, that election, I still don't have that all figured out. But I know that He asked me, and a young man went forward and accepted the Lord. And here I am. Verse 2 gives us the results of our salvation. Something this rotten, evil world could never give. Mercy, peace, love, and give it what? More abundantly. Multiplied. Fellow asked a guy that had 10 kids, well, how do you love them? You don't divide, you multiply. If you have 10 kids, you just multiply by 10. That's how it is with the love of God for us. Amen? Verse number 3. This is the key verse of the whole thing. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Beloved, God's beloved children. You know who that is? That's us. Note the word common. In the Greek, the koine. The whole New Testament was written in this style. Not the classic Greek, but the koine Greek. Not in common as, ho-hum, that's just something regular. No, but the kind of salvation that everyone can understand. Little fellows, middle-aged, older fellows, it's a common thing. Romans 1:16. The language of the regular folks like us. Where'd my mark go? pages, Dick. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We might not be Greek, but we're Gentile, and it's for us too. Here, listen to this verse in the original. When it's translated directly, sometimes the sentence structure is a little different. So just, beloved, all diligence using to write you concerning the common salvation, I had necessity to write unto you, exhorting to agonize for the faith once delivered to the saints. The translation of the word in Jude, to contend, is to agonize. We already know what that means. Pastors taught us agonizomai. We get our word agony from it. Doesn't it break your heart to see the condition of our country right now? Contend equals agony. In the Strong's number 1864, we are to be in agony in the defense of God's word, correct doctrine, and of faith. Defend the faith, folks. And I'm not talking go out there and go to smacks with somebody. We'll see that later on. And we don't have to fend the lion of the tribe of Judah. He created everything from nothing. He could speak a word and everything would be forgotten and go back to the eternal state with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together. There would be never even a mention of all of this. But he didn't do that because he loves us. And in verse 4, here comes the warning. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Seems like that was written just for American Christians today. There's a bunch of them. Many, many prophets have foretold that false teachers or apostates would come. They're here. Crept in. It's an interesting word from the Greek. To enter in alongside. To sneak in a side door. And then once they're in, they use grace as an excuse to do whatever they want. No, wrong. And they deny the Lord. But they get in the door. They weasel their way in the door. Satan could never destroy God's church from the outside, so he got to try to destroy it from the inside. This poll was taken over 40 years ago of 700 preachers. And I use that, that's their term. I wouldn't call them that. And I know that these statistics are higher now. 48% denied inspiration of the Scripture. Get out. Denied the atonement, then we're still living in our sin. What are they going to come up with that? 12% reject the resurrection. And here's a sad one. You got nothing to look forward to. 27% don't believe in the second coming and the judgment that goes along with that. To them, I got nothing to say. Just move along, because I know what God's word says. He is coming again. And this is the exact reason we at Calvary Baptist Church demand regenerated church membership. To use a modern term, we need to vet anyone desiring to be a member. Sometimes it's hard when you got to meet with the deacons and the pastor. But if the Lord is in your heart, you'll want to share that. Amen? You may not know cannot remember the exact date, but you can remember an event in your life when you went forward and accepted the Lord. And they're not going to grill you. You're not going to be held in contempt or anything like that. But you have to be saved to be a member. Amen? That ought to be a big amen. Because the ones that sneak in, they're not. I don't know the heart. Only the Lord knows the heart. But when you see rotten fruit hanging, you got to be suspicious. And that extreme vetting that they talk about, we got to have that extreme vetting at Calvary Baptist Church. And praise the Lord, the deacons do a good job of that. Thank you, men and pastor, for doing that. And also, thank you, Pastor, Ms. Sosinski, my man Caleb, and if Carissa, thank you for coming to be our pastor, and thank you for preaching the whole counsel of God's Word.
Amen.
That ain't said enough. We love you, brother, and we're here for you. That way you ain't trying to herd cats. Everybody going their own different direction. We all behind you. And we mean that, Pastor. Number four, historic apostates and their result, verses 5 to 7. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. What a miracle, the crossing of the Red Sea and all that. Moses goes up to the mountain, what'd they do? Run amok. He's coming back down and he meets Joshua halfway. Oh, there's a sound of war in the camp. No. They got destroyed in the wilderness, except for two full adults, Joshua and Caleb. And remember, Caleb, I want that mountain. Even he was way, way aged. I want that mountain. Because he knew the Lord had given it to him. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness into the judgment of the great day. Fallen angels, God said they are chained, that is bound. Folks, their day is coming. Them and Satan will be judged after the millennial reign of Christ. They're doomed. But what about us? We're not. We're going to miss all that. When that tribulation 7 years is going on, we're going to be at the Lamb's Supper and the Bride of the Lamb. And it's us. And so ever to be with the Lord. I like those words. Verse 7, Edith, Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Sodom and Gomorrah, those ancient cities, but 16 miles to our east is another Sodom, and down south is another Gomorrah, San Francisco. Rampant homosexuality destroyed those two ancient cities. How much more for Seattle, San Francisco, and the United States of America? Oh, it's an alternate lifestyle. No, it ain't. What's God's Word say? It's an abomination and ought not be. We can't take human life like they used to, but they ought to took them out and stoned them. I don't know if we got enough rocks. But what a sad thing to see our country going that way. Number 5, apostates described part 1, that's verse 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak of evil of dignities. There are 4 things said of these false teachers and apostates. You notice that the word filthy is in italics. It wasn't in the original. They put it in there to help it make more sense in English. But filthy describes them pretty good. Dreamers. I had a dream. The Lord told me I need a new jet. I seen that fellow on the television the other day. In my flesh, I'd like to go thump him, but good, because he makes the regular plow horse Christian like us look bad. And the world, oh, if you're like him, well, I don't want nothing to do with it. They defile the flesh. That's number 2 of what the 4 characteristics of them. Here's another one that made Christianity look real bad. Jimmy Swaggart. That's another one I'd like to pull down from the pulpit. But the Lord will take care of it. That's not my job. The Lord will take it. He knows what He's a-doing. They defy authority. Reject the appointed over them, especially dangerous in the house of the Lord. The Lord placed a pastor in charge of the local church. We as members, we need to respect him, help him. And why? Because we're held accountable for it, but so is the pastor. He has to give account for our souls when the great judgment comes. Sometimes we kind of fail at it, but we're all still saved, but we still have that old sin nature, and we'll fail. Like the hymn says, the arm of flesh will fail you every time. They disrespect dignities, goes hand in hand with defy authority. Not only do they defy authority, but they speak evil of those over them. Well, I don't like the example. I don't like the pastor, and then go to some here and here and here and here, bad mouthing the man. That ain't the way. Not in the house of the Lord. And not outside the house of the Lord, bad mouthing the man. That ain't the way. If you disagree theologically, well, he believes in this and I don't believe in that, keep your mouth shut and learn, and you'll figure out that he was right. Here's the great filter of all of it. Run it through God's Word. What's God's Word say? No matter who's standing in this pulpit, Pastor Sinski, myself, somebody else, run what the man says through God's Word. If he's reading it word for word from God's Word, you can trust God's Word. Amen? Where I grew up in southern Missouri. And you'd have a young fella, and as he said, he'd get too big for his britches. Man, alligator mouth and hummingbird body. Too much. For a Navy, us guys would battleship mouth and whaleboat constitution. Same thing. And that's number 6, and that's verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring a railing accusation, but said, now listen to these last 4 words, the Lord rebuke thee. Many of today's Pentecostals brag that I can take on the devil and win. Dumb. Nope. Here the archangel, who is way more powerful than any of us, didn't take on Satan, did he? What did it say? Dost not bring against him a railing accusation. Didn't say nothing to him. He let the Lord handle it. Amen? That's what we need to do. Let the Lord handle it. In our own, here in the church, I got a sin nature, you got one, everybody got one. Sometimes they rear their ugly head and we bat heads over something in the house of the Lord. Those you take care of yourself. Brother, I'm sorry. I said something I shouldn't have. Sister, I'm sorry. I did wrong. Or they come to you and forgive and forget. It's done. Amen? Now we're back in fellowship with the Lord, and no undercurrents in the house of the Lord. No fussing amongst the brother. What a great example for us. The archangel, his own self, didn't take on Satan. He called the Lord to take care of it for him. Because you know what Satan would have did? He'd have set up the body of Moses, and what would they have been worshiping instead of the Lord? Body of Moses. Number 7, apostates describe part 2, verses 10 through 13 and 16. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserve the blackness of darkness forever. Speak evil of things they don't know. Of course, they're going to badmouth the Lord because they don't know the Lord. And the only things they know is physical things. They have no compassion. Yes, they may be well educated, but they may be educated beyond their intelligence. Brain full of all kinds of knowledge and an empty, evil heart. They're going to miss glory by about a foot to 18 inches. But what damage do they do? We got three examples and a modern equivalent. Cain, a religious, natural man. He wants to worship, but he wants to do it in his own way. He denies redemption by the blood. Can you think back? Israel had their own Cain. Jeroboam. Oh, I'll set up Bethel. Then you don't have to go to Jerusalem. Sound an awful lot like him, don't it? Oh, we don't have any Cains today. Oh, yes, we do. Big one. The Mormons. I don't see how they can say they worship the same Lord we do, because they ain't. And before we go on, you know them litmus papers you stabbed and it would change color? I'm colorblind. Didn't help me. You always had to, hey, come here. What? But here is your litmus test for a false religion. You ready? How is their salvation? By grace, through faith. That's the end. By grace, through faith. Well, I believe in grace and I believe in faith. Okay, now you go on. That's one of those pass or fail questions. Remember the flow charts? This, that, yes. Okay, you go on. No, you're done. Some of these, oh yeah, we believe in by grace through faith, and then add something. Talking to the beads, nope. Going here and going on a 2-year mission, nope. The litmus test is by grace through faith, period. End. Done. Then if you want to ask them, the next one, how about the blood? Oh, that ain't important. Move along. Without the shedding of blood, there ain't no remission. God's Word said that. That ain't Jim Goodman saying that. That's God's Word saying it. We got to stand up for the Lord. He can defend himself, but we here in this world have to stand up for the Lord. Amen? And what we believe is Baptist. Balaam. Here's your new word. Profiteering. Propheteering. Boy, there's a passel of them today. Let's see. Oh, Casey Treat. Rick Warren. They're all out to do is to fleece the flock of God. And the sad thing is the flock of God flock to them kind of people because they don't know no better. That's the same with that fellow that says, I have a dream. The Lord says, I need another new jet. All right, Christians, start coughing them up. I need a new jet or I need a new building, something. And as I've said before, I get suspicious when they say, send your money to the Lord. But you see their address. Nope. Where should your money be going, folks? What's the cutting edge in this dispensation? The local church. If you want to make donations to something else, okay. But our Constitution says Calvary Baptist Church will have the what? Sacred preeminence. Our local church sends out missionaries. They support missionaries. And each one of us is what? An ambassador for Christ. Out there in that world. But we got to be careful. We got to walk through this world and get it splashed on us, but we don't have to stop and wallow with them. Balaam, profiteering. And what's verses 12 and 13 say about this bunch? Clouds without water. Barren trees, no fruit, pulled out, rotten, useless. Raging waves, wandering stars. What's all of their reward? Eternal darkness for what? Forever. Korah. We see him in Numbers 16. He denied Moses. Do we have any Korahs today? Oh yeah, way too many to number. And they have the original sin just like Lucifer did. I shall be like the Most High. P-R-I-D-E. It's good to be proud of some things. I'm proud that I serve my country. I'm proud that I'm a member of Calvary Baptist Church. But I'm not proud of this carcass because it's rotten clean through. The only thing to save me was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't seek Him, He sought me. And folks will come through the door and dress like they fell off a turnip truck. Well, the Lord wants me as I am. I'm coming. No, you did not bring nothing to the agreement. I'm sorry, but you didn't bring nothing to the agreement. We come empty-handed. And our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. That's the good part? And we come into the Lord with that? And, oh, well, I talked to my beads 15 times today. Like the pastor said, I walk with rocks in my shoes. I sacrifice. That don't impress God. If He don't see the precious blood applied to your life, what are you? You're lost. Here you are, an enemy of God, shaking your fist at the Most High. That ain't the way. But we got an escape, amen? And then in verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Here's your big fancy word, onomatopoeia. Means the word sounds just like it is. Murmur. Murmuring out. The Israelites did it. Moses heard it. The Lord always hears it. That ought not to be. Murmurs, gripers, lustful, speak great words and make great speeches. For what? To honor God? No, no, no. To exhort the congregation? They could care less about the congregation. No, all they want is men's applause and admiration. Well, the Lord told them, well, there's your reward. He's so smart. The only plan that could save somebody like me and someone like you, He already did. And that's a sealed deal. Number 8, the reward for their apostasy, verses 14 and 15. This is Enoch telling us about it. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Someday every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Not confession unto salvation, but confession that, yes, He is Lord, right before they're sent to eternal damnation. That day's a-coming, folks, and we're going to miss it. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior right now, you're going to miss that. Amen. Prophecy of Enoch. He is coming. And He's coming back. And behold, with 10,000 of saints. Who's that? Hey, that's us. God's holy word says in the millennium, we're going to reign 1,000 years with Christ. And the Holy Spirit decided in a couple of verses, and reign 1,000 years, and reign 1,000 years. Must be important. I don't know how them fellas can deny that there's not going to be a millennial reign because God's word said it. Convict, a legal term, an indictment, guilty. So were all of us before that. But we come before a holy God and accepted His Son's sacrifice in our life. Now when the hammer falls, what? Not guilty. Sins are wiped away. Don't mean we're not going to sin no more, because we're still got that sin nature. But that holy God standing on His judgment, looking down at us, not guilty. Our sin paid was paid. And not only that, then a loving God comes around from His judge platform. Welcome, son. Now we're a child of the King. Modern false teachers, verses 17 to 19. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. We're also warned about that. They can turn themselves into ministers of light. God's Word says that. We got to be careful, folks. What's God's Word say? Prove them all. Test them. When I worked at the shipyard, somebody had the brilliant idea to contract out pennants to be made by somebody else. Oh, it's cheaper. Okay. We put it in our 600,000-pound test machine, and they were rated for 4,800 pounds. Normally, they're tested to 200% of that and held for 10 minutes, or 2 minutes, 10 minutes. But we hit the switch and let the thing pull and pull and pull and pull and pull. Bam! Tore it apart. 10,000 pounds. Nope. We have got to be, that's a proof test. We have got to be just like that. Prove everything that's said unto you through the filter of God's Word. Amen? Each and every one of us got one in our lap, or if we didn't bring ours in the front of the pew in front of you. But you know something, folks? Osmosis don't work. It's got to be read. Praise the Lord for our pastor. Every week he studies and digs out them nuggets for us to pick up and learn. Thank you, Pastor. There's your agonizing for the faith. I only done it for this, and I was plumb tuckered. Pastor, the Lord give you special strength and grace to keep doing it. Keep preaching the whole counsel of God's Word. But we have to listen, amen? And we got to be here. We got to be here. We got to listen. And if we got a question after the service, Pastor, what did this mean? And when I grew up in school, excuse me, teacher, what's that mean? Look it up for yourself and then you'll know on your own. Get into God's Word, folks. Modern false teachers, mockers, walk after ungodly lust. Their desires are totally apart from God. But they call themselves Christians. And what does the world hate? A hypocrite. They can pick them out right quick. We don't want none. All of us can be that. Especially if we live our life on Sunday morning, oh, I'm a Christian. Hey, brother, how you doing? Sunday evening, hey, brother, how you doing? Monday morning, you're living like the world. You can't do that. One or the other. You can't live Sunday, Wednesday night to the Lord, and the rest of the days for the devil. It can't be. And who is the most miserable folks? The ones trying to do that, not living for the Lord. Now we'll see what God's holy word has to say about these things. When we agonize for the faith, we are not to cause agony on somebody else. When we contend for the faith, we're not supposed to be contentious doing it. 2 Timothy 2:24 and 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them the repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We are to contend or agonize for the faith, but we ain't supposed to cause nobody agony of doing it. Meekness. What do you think meekness means? Strength under control. The word meekness, no, that ain't what it means. The Lord was meek and mild, but he could have destroyed the whole world with one word. He didn't even have to, all he had to do was think that word. And these folks that, you can lose your salvation, you got to get saved, makes my Lord awful small. God's word said once for all. Back to the book of Jude for a minute. Verses 20 to 24. See if you can pick out the verbs of what we're supposed to be doing. But beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding, and I like this last, with exceeding joy. We're supposed to build up our faith. Verse 20a. God's word also says we're supposed to work out our salvation. Like 1, 2, 3, 1. How do you work out your salvation? By pushing back. You don't build muscle unless you got resistance. And notice I said work out, not work for. Two different things. You cannot work for your salvation. No matter how many of them high dollar preachers tell you, you can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't have it willed to you. It's an individual thing, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Pray in the Spirit, verse 20b. Keep yourselves in the love of God, verse 21. Look for God's mercy. Verse 21b, have compassion, love. Verse 22, care for others. When we was young, Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. Help save others, verse 23, we can't save anyone. Not our job. Whose job is it? God's. We are to be ambassadors for Christ. And verse 24. He is able to carry you through. Love God. When we contend or agonize for the faith, why do we do it? Here's verse 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. What are we supposed to be doing? Honoring the Lord. Amen. Whatever little bit of speaking I've done up here, it's to honor the Lord and exhort you. And it ain't for me. I've already got mine learning from studying to preach this. But isn't what God's Word wonderful? It says it'll go out and do what He intended it to do. When should we do it? When I was in the Navy, and many of the Navy guys here will know exactly what I'm talking about, we have a D1R, daily or when required. Daily, I would climb up and check the oil in the motor whaleboat and the captain's gig. Pull the dipstick out. Yep, there's oil on it. Or, away the motor whaleboat. Somebody fell off the aircraft carrier. Check the oil, start the engine, get ready to be lowered over the side. Daily or when required. When we throw our feet off the bed, we need to ask ourselves this question. Turn with me to Joshua 24:15. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, here's what you're supposed to do first thing every morning. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which are of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, or the NFL, or the NBA, or Major League Baseball, or whatever god you have in this world, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Every morning when you get up out of that bed, who am I going to serve today? Am I going to serve the one living God, or am I going to serve this rotten, evil world? And that go, as for me, I can only speak for myself. As for Jim Goodman, I'm serving the Lord. And Anita Goodman, my wife, family, we will serve the Lord. Calvary Baptist Church, we will serve the Lord. But it starts out on the individual level. I'm individually responsible to the Lord for how I've lived my life, and so are you. Exodus 32:26. We're only going to read the first part of it. Well, we can read the whole thing. Exodus 32:26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" You got to choose that every day. "Let him come unto me." All the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. There's a song. Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? You don't have to go out and to be a missionary. To be a missionary. We got a mission field right here. If the Lord didn't lead you that direction, what is it counted to be for a servant? It counted to be faithful. Whether all you've ever done for as long as you've been here is clean the sanctuary bathrooms, and that's what the Lord called you to do, that's what you need to be doing. Out whacking weeds, mowing the yard, painting signs, whatever it is that the Lord found you faithful. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Hold fast. When our country was founded, and up until the War of Northern Aggression, they had linear warfare. Everybody stood shoulder to shoulder, and over there they stood shoulder to shoulder and shot at one another. But that's the way it was did. What happened when one group retreated, run? Then the line collapsed and you lost. Stand in the gap, folks. Yeah, standing for the Lord in this time is hard. You're going to get put down. You're going to get hammered. But what's this little bit of time here compared to eternity? Nothing. And the song in the hymn book, "It will be worth it all when we see Christ." You think all this old rotten stuff ain't going to matter one bit, because we're going to forget all about it. Why? Because we're in the presence of the Lord and a brand new body. No more hearing aids, no more glasses, no more insulin, no more nitroglycerin. Plumb perfect. And so ever to be with the Lord. Pastor's been teaching us the imminency of the rapture. That rapture's coming, folks. Wouldn't it be a praise to the Lord if we were the generation that went up through the roof right now? Our July 4th, 2018 is our Independence Day. Independence from sin. There's nothing of it up there. Second Timothy 1:13. You're going to hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast onto what you know. Hold fast to God's word. Hold fast to the good preaching. Hold fast to doctrine. They say doctrine divides. No, it's sin that divides. Sound doctrine, hang on to it. Eternal security, there's sound doctrine, hang on to that. Hang on to the thought that could be today that the Lord's coming. And temper your lives in accordance with that. One day we're going to give account. That's the Christians. Here you go, Lord. He knows everything. He's going to open the books. Every idle word, He knows. But we'll face a loss of rewards, but we'll always ever be with the Lord. Today is our Independence Day, and we celebrate that. And I'm just as anxious as you to get to the hot dogs and the burgers. But we got to feed our soul first. Amen. Today, if you got business with the Lord, don't leave without doing business with the Lord. Because tomorrow ain't guaranteed. 10 minutes from now ain't guaranteed. Lord could take us. Remember the fella? Oh boy, I got it made. Well, tonight thy soul is required of thee. All his new barns and all his new harvest didn't mean nothing. Gain the whole world and lose your own soul. Forever's a long time. It's either forever to be with the Lord or forever suffering. And these folks that tell you, well, I'm going to hell because all my buddies are there. No, you're going to be alone in darkness in flames forever. And you're going to have forever to vegetate on the fact that you rejected the Lord. Don't do that now. If you got business with the Lord, take care of it today. Join me in prayer, please. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege it was to stand in your pulpit and in your church and bring something from your Word of God. Thank you for the fine folks that are here. Lord, if anybody needs to do business with you today, Lord, get it done, Lord. Thank you again for the kind attention and the privilege it was to bring this message. In Jesus' name, amen.